proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
In just a moment here, we're going to hear from Bruce Brumfield. He is our Awana missionary that we support. He has a challenge for us from God's Word, but before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for each and every one of these children here. Lord, each one of them is a special and precious life, and we pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts to bring them to not only know what your word says, but to understand that, to believe it, and to walk in the truth of your word, and to know you all the rest of the days of their lives. We pray, Lord, that their lives would be a shining testimony to your love and your grace, that they would please you with every choice that they make in their lives forward. And we pray for their parents here, Lord, that parenting is a tough job. And we pray for your grace for them, Lord, to help them as they, I pray that they would seek you for your wisdom, for your guidance, for your provision and resources as they seek to be the mom and the dad to these kids who are here today. Lord, thank you for our speaker, Bruce. We pray that you, Lord, would guide and direct his mind now, that he would say, Lord, what it is that each one of us needs to hear today. Your spirit can take that and touch our hearts. We pray that he would do that, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Bruce?
Well, it is really good to be here today. I got a lot of little ditties in my head now. I know I'm going to be singing them probably for the next week. The one that sticks the most, I think, is going to be that Don't Covet one. What do you think? Anybody going to do that? Those kids did a wonderful job. You know, and kids are our next generation, aren't they? One day we're going to pass off the scene, and one day they're going to stand in here, in this very church maybe, and actually proclaim the Lord. And what we do really does matter a lot when it comes to them. Because guess what? They watch, don't they? They look, they see. And a lot of times our actions mean more than what we say out of our own mouths. And that's very, very critical when it comes to raising a generation of children, especially in today's culture. They say today that probably over 60 to 80% of kids, so you can look at those kids sitting here. Now, if those kids are members here, they say today statistically what will happen is over 60 to 80% of them will actually walk away from the Lord when they graduate from high school. And so really it's very, very critical that we look at ourselves and think about ourselves because really we do hold the key to their future spiritual growth. And that's what we've been trying to tell across the area to our leaders and the 100 churches that we actually minister to is not the church that's supposed to be raising the kids. The church can come alongside and help you, but whose responsibility is it? It's ours, isn't it? It's our responsibility. So thank the Lord for your leaders and for that wonderful program. That was a good program. I know as I was listening to the songs, and maybe some of you were doing this too, but as they go through the Ten Commandments, I can actually think about times that I broke those commandments. Anybody do that? Just kind of the way that the commandments are, aren't they? I mean, that's what they were given for us, to teach us that really we have a problem. And the problem is with our heart, with our hearts. And that's what I like to talk about this morning is what is in your heart, okay? And I thought I was going to have the kids in here, so I didn't dumb this down, okay? But I do want to speak to them. But I figured that, you know what? Probably very clearly we need to understand about the heart. And so if I were to ask you today, where is your heart? I want you to point to it. Yeah, most people will do this. They'll point here because in a child's life, that's what they understand the heart is. It's this vessel that sits here and it pumps, doesn't it? And if I were to say, what is in that heart, what would you tell me? Yeah, you guys can talk. It's okay. Blood, right? Or we hope there's not other things, being adults, that are in there that prevent blood from going through those things. But obviously, blood flows through our hearts. Very critical part of our life, isn't it? I mean, we don't live if the heart doesn't beat. Matter of fact, when they say when the heart stops, that's when we die. So our heart is very important to us, isn't it? But sometimes the Bible, when it talks about in the Bible uses the heart many, 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 many times. And I want to read a couple passages, if I could, for you. And if you want to follow along, I'll just point those out to you. One of them is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. We actually talked about that earlier. Pastor read that at the beginning of the service. And listen what it says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart." Okay, so there's the word heart, right? Now, when a child thinks of a heart, they think of what? But this is a different use of the word heart, isn't it? Same word, heart. And it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Here's another one, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Maybe some of you know this one. Any of you memorize this one? Okay, a couple of you have. Okay, here we go. Here's what it says. It says, "The heart," there it is again, "the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." So there's the word heart again. And it's not, is it talking about this? No, it isn't, is it? It's talking about something different, but it's still the same word, heart, okay? And then here's another one, Proverbs 4:20 through 7. This is the passage we were going to use today a little bit. And so let me go over here and find it. Here we go. It says, and this is being faithful in marriage, but it does talk about the heart. It says this, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your heart to my sayings." Or I'm sorry, "Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart," okay? "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." So there are some passages, and there's many, 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 many passages in the Bible that really talks about our heart. But it's not talking about the beating thing that we have here. It's talking about something totally different. And it's really important to this culture today, because those verses, here's what they mean. The physical heart actually keeps our body alive, but the heart that's spoken of in the Bible, this is what it is. It's what we believe is true. It is our choices. It's our motives. It's our desires. It's how we think about things. It's constantly being fed today by several things. Our heart, that's talked about in the Bible, is being fed by several things. It's being fed by friends. It's being fed by TV. It's being fed by video games today. It's being fed by the books we read, by what we watch. All those things are feeding this biblical thing that we call the heart. And so we're taking all those things in all the time. Now, do you think it has a way of influencing our heart? Well, I'll tell you what. I know I drove in today. How many drove in today? Okay. I know that as I drove in, there were things on the side of the road that were called speed limits. And I just, you know, I wonder, what is the purpose of a speed limit? And one person said this. This is really funny. One person said, "Oh, it's a suggestion." Well, you see, those things, what happens in the world continually bombards us, and it shapes what we feel or think or do, and it controls our actions, and it influences our heart. And the Bible says the heart is what? Deceitful. It's tricky. It's slippery. That's what we teach the kids, it means, that the things that we think and do and actually the things that drive our actions are so unpredictable that we actually do things sometimes that we don't want to do. That's because it's our heart that causes us to do that. Deuteronomy says we're to love the Lord God in our understanding and acceptance, our motives and desires following God, and that we should think about how to please God. That's what it means to love the Lord with all your heart. Jeremiah passage says that from the time that we're born, from the time that we're born, our hearts are deceitful and very wicked. We come out of the box that way, don't we? And you can just look at a child. And the Proverbs passage says that it drives everything. It says, out of our hearts come the issues of life. So it drives our hands, and it drives our eyes, and it drives our ears, what we listen to, and it drives our feet where we go. It's our heart that drives us. You know, sometimes it really frustrates me because I want to do the best I can, but guess what? I do the things I don't want to do because it's my heart. It's the things that I've put in my head. It's the things that I've heard. It's the things that I've experienced that shape who I am. And God says the thing that should shape us is what? His Word. His Word. That's what should shape us. You know what? Kids today need to see that we are shaped by His Word. You know, the problem today is, in the society of the day is that we tell kids what to do when it comes to the Bible. What we don't do is we don't show them that we love the Lord, that we're emotional about loving the Lord, and we're emotional about following what His Word says. And so that's why 60 to 80% of them walk away from the Lord, is because they don't see something that's real, that comes out of our heart, that drives our hands and drives our eyes and drives our feet and should raise our hands and praise the Lord. They don't see those things. And that's why they walk away from the Lord. If I were to ask you what's in your heart today, biblically speaking, what would you say? The Lord? Okay, that's a good start. But you know, as we sit here today, you know, many of us have things in our heart that we're probably not very happy about. And some of those things actually control us. And in society today, it's really kind of interesting because, you know, we segment how our lives actually happen. So in other words, we can walk in the door of the church and guess what we can do? We can turn on some language. And we can turn on some actions. And our heart is deceitful. It causes us to do that. And we can act like we're church people, can't we? When we go to work, guess what happens? There's a whole new set of things that go on in our minds and in our hearts that drive us at work. And what happens there? We act totally different. When we're at home, we act different. That's because as Americans, we've learned how to segment how we behave at certain times. The culture has helped us with that. So if I were to ask you what's in your heart, and you know, this is the answer I'd probably say, I don't know. I'm not sure I know what's in my heart sometimes. Because obviously it drives me in ways I don't want to sometimes. But here's something to think about. Moms can look at their kids and guess what? They can say, I know what's in your heart. Moms, right? Look at those kids. Your employers could look at you and say, this is what's in his heart, or your heart, or her heart. Neighbors could look at your family, and they could look at you and they could say, this is what's in their hearts. But you know, most importantly, God can look at our heart, and he knows for sure what's in our hearts. There's no doubt in his mind what's there. And I love the Ten Commandments and what the kids did today. That was really great. It was fun. It was exciting. But you know what? Those were written to show the people of Israel that their hearts weren't right. And they needed something different to guide their lives. It's our school teacher. It's a nice thing to do, isn't it? I mean, all those are great, but how many of you have ever been able to keep the whole law? Anybody? None of us can, because it's God's perfect standard. So maybe you're sitting here today, and I don't know. You know, I don't know the people that are here very well, but maybe you're sitting here today and saying to yourself, I don't like how I act. You know, I don't. And I don't like how I think. Or I'm not real happy or pleased with my behavior at some times. How can I change my heart? You know, there's probably books about that out there. that people can buy and try to help them with that. You know, we can do little self-help things all over the place. But you know what? The basically, this is the deal. We can't change our hearts. We can modify them, but can we change our basic nature? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says what? For all have sinned. Sin is a condition of the heart. It's a thing that doesn't please God. When he looks at us, you know, he sees our sin. And we can't change that. I tell you what, even after you come to know Christ, you can't change that. You're forgiven, but you still have sin. And sin still drives your hands and your feet and your mind and what you look at and where you go and what you think. I mean, all those things are driven by sin, by your heart. So basically, we can't change our hearts. But you know what? Here's the amazing thing. God's Word can. That's the one thing that can change a heart. And so this is what I want to challenge you with today. After saying all these things, I want to challenge you with this, okay? When Pastor Dan comes in here and preaches every Sunday, what does he do? He shares God's Word with you, doesn't he? And you hear it. And we thank him for doing that. Because God's Word is the only thing that can change our hearts. That's what God wrote this book for, is he wanted to change the heart of man. He knew that we were sinners, and he wanted us to think differently about him. He wanted us to walk differently for him. Sunday school teachers come in here every Sunday. Anybody a Sunday school teacher in here? Okay. And Sunday school teachers, what do you do every Sunday? You present what? God's Word. Why? Because God's Word changes our hearts. Our Awana leaders are all in here. Praise the Lord for them working with those kids. They should be blessed in this church for working with kids and trying to raise them up and assisting you parents with those things. But you know what? Every Wednesday night they come here and guess what they're doing? They're sharing God's Word with the kids. Why? Because God's Word changes our hearts. Our hearts. Romans, I was reading through Romans recently. This is the book I've been reading all month. Amazing book. And as I read through there, you know, I keep coming back to chapter 10. 10's just got some amazing things that say in it. But I'd like to read this to you. 10:5-13. It says this. For Moses... There he was, right up here, guys. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things lives by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. So there's a word that is near us all the time. And it's here, and it's where. And that part of us that understands, and the part of us that accepts and believes, and the part of us that makes choices, the word is there. And here's what it says. What is the word? That is the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no difference, distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, I mean, if you're sitting here today and you're going, how can I change my heart? Well, the most fundamental way to change your heart is not by the law, like the kids spoke of up here. It's by trust and belief. It's called faith. And when we choose to believe what God had done with his son, then we will have the most radical change in our heart that will ever take place. our way of thinking will be changed. And we will begin to not think about what our heart desires, we'll begin to think about who God is. And so that's how God actually changes a heart. Is first of all, you have to come and acknowledge him as Savior. By the way, there's a benefit of that. When you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead and he died for your sin, then what happens is you gain eternal life. What a benefit, huh? For making a heart change. For believing and trusting and having faith. But, you know, if you're a Christian today and you're sitting here, how can I change my heart? Now, if I were to ask you, and I think I have, what, Pastor, about another couple minutes here? If I were to ask you, why is it important that we memorize and learn the Bible? I bet all of you could come up with 5 or 6 or 7 reasons why memorizing the Bible is good, right? Everybody think about that? Okay. But the bigger question is this. How are you doing? Are you memorizing God's words? Because if you want to change your heart, the best way you can do it is to memorize God's word. And we ask those kids in there to do it every week. But you know what? If we're not doing it along with them, then it sounds like we're not part of what they should believe. And that's why kids walk away from the Lord when they graduate from high school. They don't see any relevance in our lives because we're not willing to do that too. Psalm 119, 9 through 6 says this. And I think some of you know some of these verses. But it says this. How can a young man cleanse his way? And it says, a good question. That's an issue of the heart. By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I had sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. For your word have I hidden in my hearts. That I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all judgments of your mouth. I rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And so, you know, here is the psalmist sitting there saying that he hid God's word in his heart. How are you doing? Are you hiding God's word in your heart? Did you know that the word of God is meant for the heart of man? For us to say we won't do it is telling the kids a lot. It's the moment that we become doing it with them that they'll love to do it too. So, you know, just a little bit about the heart. You know, the heart is desperately wicked. The heart then the Bible talks about is not this beating thing, but it's really what drives our actions. And so how are your actions? Are you willing to make some adjustments? Are you willing to follow the Lord with your heart? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, that your word is so devoted to changing our hearts. And that, Lord, that was your desire for us, Lord, to desire for Israel was to follow you. Well, how do you follow unless your heart is changed? And Lord, it's the desire for you of us as Christians, Lord, that we would follow you. But Lord, if we're not feeding our hearts consistently with your word, it's hard to follow. And we'll be discouraged. So Lord, I want to challenge that if, number one, for Christians, if they're not memorizing your word, meditating on your word, and learning it, Lord, that Father, they would, that we all would, do a better job at memorizing your word and changing our hearts. And if there's someone today who has never, never, never placed their trust and faith in Christ, that, Lord, today they might make the greatest, it's the only thing they can do to actually change their heart in a very significant way. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.